Hey everyone, before we get started, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So, whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Again, that is bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find more, but that is bwhustle.com/join.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello and welcome to a Tuesday night edition of the Chase Thomas podcast. I am still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, and I am joined by first-timer Brett Finger of Kane's Country. Brett, I met someone this evening who was wearing an NC State mask, and you being a student at NC State, and I'm over here in Knoxville, Tennessee, Tennessee Vol Country. Okay. It was fate, Brett.
It really was, you know, the stars aligned here. I mean, it's perfect. You can't write it up better than this.
No, people say that Miracle on Ice is a better story than the story I just laid out, but I would disagree. I would also like to point out that NC State fans are some of my favorite, just because there's no expectations and they're just so nice, and they're just taken aback when you know about their school. I don't know if you felt this when you traveled, like if you just meet somebody that like, oh, I know NC State, like, yeah, Dave Doran. Well, I was like, yeah, what do you make of Dave Doran? I think he's had an up and down, but I think he's on the right track. And they're like, excuse me, what? And I was like, Dave Doran, your coach? And they're like, oh my God, no one's ever asked us about Dave Doran. Like, it's never happened in our life. And I'm like, yeah, I feel kind of bad for you guys because you're on the up and up, and then Mac Brown comes in and just ruins all the fun.
Really? Yeah, I mean, he just really totally did. Uncalled for by him just coming in. I mean, it's not like we're already competing with UNC and Duke all the time for everything. And then of course Mac is back, and we can't even have like 2 seconds.
No, you can't have nice things. But by all accounts, no. It seems like Raleigh's a really nice place. Somewhere I want to go eventually. I would like to check out. I'm not that far from North Carolina, being here in Knoxville, East Tennessee. It blows my mind how close I really am to North Carolina and Virginia. Like, it's just, I don't understand geography. Brett, that's why I host a sports podcast, is geography is not necessarily my bread and butter. What have you been reading this week? Is there a lot of good stuff that you've been checking out while keeping up with everything in hockey, Brett?
Reading? Oh, boy.
You are a college student, sir. You
that's
need
a loaded
to be
question.
Hitting
a,
the books, not only for your classes, which I hope you're doing
of
well,
course.
Brett, but also
plenty of. Plenty of reading, yeah. The things that I find myself reading for fun are hockey analytics pieces. Mm-hmm. So probably not what you'd consider like fun time.
That's fine. I love
reading.
Herman Dial, friend of the pod of The Athletic, a great hockey.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. So no, I very much enjoy it too. No, I mean that's like part of sports writing now. This is something I think about a lot with my own writing is just how more complicated being a sports writer is now versus even just like 10 years ago. And there's so much nerves involved in writing now where it's just like understanding the numbers. It's not just like getting the numbers, it's understanding what they mean and applying them in the right context. And hockey, I think, is more I think baseball, you can kind of decipher and you can figure it out. Like spin rate and stuff like that can get a little wonky every now and then, and like mapping sure. out like what somebody's going to look like 3 years out and just what prospects mm-hmm. are going to talk. Like that can be complicated, but at the same time, hockey for me, when I just navigate, I would be far more nervous writing about hockey analytics than I would in any other sport.
Is that yeah, fair? It's yeah, no, I think it's fair. There's so much going on, and it feels like the NHL is still very far behind some other leagues with regards to analytics versus eye test versus combining them and taking them both into account. So it's definitely a little overwhelming, and it takes you know, you gotta make sure that you know what you're talking about, because if you don't, you are going to get it's going to get pointed out pretty quickly. So it's stressful at times, but yeah, I'm glad the NHL is coming along in that regard, but there's a lot going on.
Well, we should mention you're a writer at Canes Country, a very good Carolina Hurricanes blog that everyone should check out if they are not already. And you're writing, like, is that something that you prioritize? Was something like, when I read about hockey and I write about the Canes, I want to make sure that I'm astute in hockey analytics and what the fans want? Because do you notice in the comment section that people prefer the analytics pieces, or do they care more about quotes? Do they care more about GIFs and video, film reviews? What do they care about the most?
Man, I think they just appreciate well thought out, well intentioned, well researched pieces. It feels like recently most of what I write is very analytics driven. So that's, and I've gotten good responses to that recently and over the years. So it's, you know, I think that people appreciate just having done your research, having, you know, watch the games, being on top of everything. And, you know, as long as you're, you know, up to date and you're really putting in the effort, I think people realize that. So, yeah, recently the longer form analytics driven pieces have been something that I've really enjoyed writing, and I think they've been good reads as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're writing about a team that's just the Atlanta Thrashers North. So that's always fun. Shout out yeah. to the former front office guys of Atlanta Thrashers lore.
Former Thrashers general manager Don Waddell is the exactly. general manager of the Hurricanes.
Yeah, exactly.
Connection.
I want to bounce around the league with you for a little bit, Brett, because right. I have some questions, and you might have the answers to some of these, you might not, but we're gonna find out here, Brett. How are the Red Wings this historically bad in your estimation? Like, I saw the power play stat that went around hockey Twitter yesterday yeah. of just how, like, you have to almost try, right, to be that bad on the mm-hmm. power play. Like, what, how is it possible this team is this bad?
Oof. They are just really bad for starters. They're in the middle of a rebuild, and, you know, it hasn't always gone super smoothly for them. And, you know, I thought they made a good move or two over the offseason. They brought in Bobby Ryan, who's been pretty good for them. He's been scoring goals on a really cheap contract. But, you know, they brought in Mark Stahl, who is probably well beyond his quote-unquote prime. And, you know, he was kind of just brought in there for, I guess, veteran leadership, quote-unquote. And, you know, they're pretty boring team. They're low event hockey. They're not exciting offensively. To their credit, they don't give up a whole lot, but another part of it is that their goaltending has been horrible. Just so bad. Jonathan Bernier's been pretty below average, but Tomas Greiss, their other goalie, is so far the worst goalie in hockey. So they're definitely not getting any help from their goalie tandem. They're kind of a combination of some young pieces that they hope will turn out to be good, and a group of veteran guys who are beyond their peak and they're just kind of this stereotypical rebuilding team. But when you're a team like that, and then in addition to that, you're getting horrible, horrible goaltending and nothing seems to go your way. You have a historically bad power play. Like you said, you almost have to try to be that bad. It's amazing. It's impressive. I give them credit for it, but it's, you know, they're just a bad team, and they're a bad team that isn't getting lucky in any way, and the goaltending is atrocious.
Yeah, I don't see any way out of it, but I can't wait to see their in-season point differential. I think that's going to be fun to see.
Oh,
I think
it'll be great.
Right now. The Stars, they got off to a late start. They were always going to have a weird year. They have the uniforms that, let me check my notes here, nobody likes. A big fan of the neon. They're struggling right now. We know what they were last year. Do the Stars just not have it this year? Is this just going to be a wash?
Yeah, it's actually funny. When the Hurricanes first played Dallas this year, they were 5-0. And when their season series started, it was like, okay, you know, this is going to be a test for Carolina. This seems to be a very good hockey team in Dallas. They're coming off of a really improbable run to the Cup final last year. And, you know, Carolina dealt with them fairly convincingly. And, you know, from there, I don't think they've won a single game since they started 5-0. I think they're 5-4-4. And it's tough because they're missing a really good high-end player in Tyler Seguin, who I think is going to miss the entire year. And, you know, he struggled in the playoffs, but he's a guy that they rely upon heavily for offense, and he's not there. And Ben Bishop isn't there, so it's been Anton Khudobin and Jake Oettinger who have been in the net, and they've both been mediocre to a little bit below average with how they've fared. So whatever it is, it just be it injuries or whatever, they don't seem to have the magic, I guess, that they had last year and into the postseason. It just feels like they've really fallen off in that regard, and it feels like they're kind of flailing right now, trying to find their identity, trying to kind of get back on the horse, so to speak. And I think like you said, they just don't have it. What they had last year, it's kind of gone away.
Yeah, it just seems like this is just going to be one of those years that's just a wash, and we'll have to circle back next year. But I'm not all that concerned about them long term. I'm not there.
No.
I think it's just some bad stuff has happened to them this year. But someone who I actually don't think will be around long term, and that they're actually in real trouble. The team that I watch after the Thrashers left, I migrated over to Anaheim, just being a Mighty Ducks lifer. Brett, I had to have somebody,
of course,
to, and I'm not going to Winnipeg. I was never doing that. So when the Thrashers and the Believe in Blue Land stuff left, I had to make a decision, and the Anaheim Ducks were the natural choice there. I have family in SoCal. It's like, okay, I'll do this.
I don't think anyone decides to go to Winnipeg in any capacity.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're alone on that.
No. Shout out to Winnipeg though. Home of Chris Jericho. I'm sure it's great and lovely. I actually dated someone years ago from Winnipeg, and just her explanation of the winners in Winnipeg just baffled me. And why would you do that to yourself? Dallas Eakins and the Anaheim Ducks suck. This is a problem. He was a natural fit on the bench when he was hired. It made sense calling him up. He was like a rising star, and the Ducks are still bad and going in the wrong direction. Obviously, they still have good goalie play, but outside of that, just the same problems. Anemic offensive play. The young players are not developing the way they should. Should Eakins and this front office be worried that the Ducks will clean house after this year?
It's hard to think that they aren't thinking about that, because, like you said, they're just they don't score. It feels like so much is just on the shoulders of John Gibson right now. And, you know, he's been busy and he's carried this team as much as he probably can at this point. And this isn't a new thing for him that just this year. I mean, it's been like that, like you said. So, yeah, it's hard for me to imagine that Dallas Eakins is there beyond this year or maybe even sooner. I think the odds on most likely head coach to get fired first, I think Dallas Eakins was number one or two on that list. It makes sense to me that he would be shown the door at some point. But, yeah, just seeing how Anaheim has fallen off over the past couple of years has been really – and not necessarily surprising, but, you know, seeing the way that the league has shifted, and it felt like Anaheim was one of those teams that kind of beefed up and during that era where the Kings were dominant and the Blackhawks were dominant. It felt like a lot of those Western Conference teams kind of beefed up and tried to play that tough Chicago game. And then right when Chicago fell off, the league kind of shifted to youth and speed, and it felt like a lot of those teams out West were kind of left behind there. So, yeah, Dallas Eakins, he's been around for a bit. But at this point, I'm not sure there's anything he can do to salvage it. And it feels like the end is probably pretty close.
Absolutely. Are you at all worried about the Philadelphia Flyers?
No, I'm not. Quite honestly, the Eastern Division isn't overly threatening in my eyes.
This is an interesting take because I just don't feel like there's a bad team in the East right now. It's a bloodbath.
Yeah. I probably have an interesting opinion watching Carolina for years in that division, and maybe it's now that Carolina is out of that division this year, but they just don't look as threatening. Like teams like Pittsburgh and Washington don't have the same kind of vibe about them that they've had in recent years. Maybe that has to do with, you know, regression and kind of falling off. Washington and Pittsburgh's core getting older. They're still good teams, and obviously when you add Boston to that division, I mean that's a problem for whoever plays in that division, because I think Boston is one of the best teams in the league, probably a top three or five team in the league right now. And they handled Philadelphia pretty easily in the outdoor game. But, you know, I think Philadelphia is still good enough to finish anywhere from 2 to 4 in that division. Just outside of Boston, I don't think there's any team there that's overly threatening with regards to running away with a spot. So I think that it's definitely a deep division with the Islanders, and the Rangers are improving. So, yeah, it's a tough division from that standpoint for sure. But I don't think outside of Boston, the upper tier of the division is as high as it's been in recent years. So I'm not super worried about Philly. They just had atrocious defensive play, uncharacteristically bad defensive play so far this year. But on the whole, I'm not very worried about them. I think that they can bounce back.
The Kings have won 5 straight. I don't understand this development. The Kings should be bad. The Kings should be bad for the foreseeable future, along with the Blackhawks, much to the dismay of Gary Bettman, Chicago and Los Angeles falling off a cliff. But what do you make of the Kings' win streak, and do you think this is sustainable?
Sustainable, maybe not, but I think it's interesting to see how, you know, the Kings have gone through over the past couple of years this kind of a semi-rebuild, and they've kept around their big guys. They've kept Dustin Brown around, Anze Kopitar, Drew Doughty, Jonathan Quick is still there, even though that's probably not by choice by the Kings. But, you know, it seems like some of those guys have really kind of bought in or bought back into what they're doing. You know, you see a guy like Dustin Brown, who's off to an outstanding start to the season. It feels like he has some new life. Drew Doughty's been playing better this year than he has over the past couple of seasons, where it felt like he was kind of on the back end. of his career, but he's having a resurgence. The veteran guys there are all of a sudden starting to play well, and five straight. I we'll see how long that win streak lasts, but you know, looking at that division, I don't think it's far fetched to think that a team like LA could grab the final playoff spot out there. You know, they're not competing with Colorado or Vegas or St. Louis, but that last spot seems to be pretty up for grabs. I joked before the season on the Canes Country podcast that we do that you could put the remaining teams in that division in a hat and randomly pick out the fourth team, and then whatever team you pull out, that's a possible team that could finish fourth in the division. Now we're seeing that Anaheim's probably not one of those teams, but
no, they're not. I can confirm. I promise you, the Anaheim's not one of those teams.
It's a wide open division. I think I picked Minnesota out of the hat, so that was my official pick for fourth. But LA can absolutely make a run for fourth in the division.
Last one around the league. We'll get to the Canes. The Oilers. Connor McDavid never being in a good situation, it seems like, in his professional career to this point. The Oilers are good. Their uniforms, not so much, but the Oilers are having a good year. What do you like about the Oilers, and do you think Connor McDavid can finally have a deep playoff run this year?
Well, I certainly like Connor McDavid. I can say that.
The butt here is going to be detrimental, I think, to the argument.
Just a little bit, but you know, the division, the North Division as a whole is just, I have no idea what the hell is going to happen in the North Division. I mean, it just feels like every game is 6-5. It's just wide open. No one's playing defense. And to the Oilers' credit, when no one's playing defense, that's probably when they're at their best. Cause Lord knows that they are not going to keep the puck out of the net, consistently, but when they are scoring, like Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl have early in the year, they can keep up in these track meet games. So with regards to the division, Montreal has fallen off quite a bit since their hot start. Toronto is, I think, currently first in the division. Edmonton's right behind them. They're contenders for the division for sure, but it comes with the caveat that at any moment, I feel like they can fall apart, and it will be a dramatic embarrassment just at any moment. And, you know, I felt that way about that team for a few years now, and there's been a few times where they've just fallen apart, and it's been a catastrophe. But, yeah, contenders for the Cup, though, I don't buy that really at all. We saw last year when they got into the play-in round against Chicago, who was not very good, and Chicago beat them in the play-in round. I'm not very convinced that they're that much better than they were last year. Maybe that experience will help them come playoff time, assuming they make it in, which I think they should probably. But contenders for a Cup, I don't see that happening once they kind of go up against some more defensive-oriented teams that will find ways to shut them down more effectively.
Absolutely. But we shall see. We shall see. Let's hope for the best for Connor McDavid, because watching him play hockey in the playoffs would be good.
He deserves better.
He's the Mike Trout of the NHL. Yeah. Just got to get him out of there. But we shall see if that's the case. Your team, Brett. Give me the latest on the Carolina Canes and things we should know about them as of right now.
They're a good team. They're
This is why when I read, Brett Finger knows.
You can only
analytics.
Get this analysis.
He knows how to describe the Carolina Hurricanes. This is what they come for to Canes Country, is for this hard hitting analysis. Yes.
You can't get this anywhere else. They're a good hockey team. They play hockey well. It's interesting because they got kind of carried by hot starts from our hot offensive starts from guys like Jordan Staal, who you don't necessarily expect offense from. He's an elite defender, but he went through a tear early in the year and led the team in points. And that is something that if you fall into Hurricanes, you would never expect in a million years, especially when they have guys like Andrei Svechnikov and Sebastian Aho, Teuvo Teravainen. They got hurt by the COVID outbreak that they had early in the year. I think they had seven guys who were on the COVID protocol list, and they had to sit out for 10 to 12 days before playing again. But since they've come back, they've kind of gotten back on to their identity, which is puck possession, controlling the quality scoring chances. For a while there, their defense was pretty shaky in allowing some high danger opportunities against. But recently that's been tightened up a great deal. And right now, you know, they're kind of in this three-way battle with Tampa Bay and Florida for top of the division. And they're in the midst of a four-game series, sort of like a playoff series against Tampa, because of the schedule changes and all that. They ended up having four straight against Tampa. They won the first game 4-0. They lost 4-2 the second game. And it's just been really, really good hockey. And I think it's gone a long way in proving that they can hang with these teams at the top of the ladder like Tampa Bay. And you know, they've played a bit now without their starting goalie, Peter Mrazek, who should be coming back relatively soon, but he was off to a great start before he got hurt. So they've been kind of piecing it together so far, but they've gotten the results. So there's reason to think that once they kind of get it together, they're going to be one of the tougher teams in hockey to play. And they have been to this point. And honestly, Andrei Svechnikov, Sebastian Aho, they're both point per game guys, but their game, I wouldn't say that they're really at the top of their game right now. So when things come together, I think they're going to be a really competitive team in the postseason. But yeah, they've done a good job kind of piecing it together and being a really good team so far.
Last thing, and we'll wrap up here, Brett. Your favorite hockey story this week, what was it?
Well, this week actually was the 1 year anniversary of the David Ayers game from last year, Toronto, Carolina. it was just a rundown. The Hurricanes had James Reimer in net. James Reimer got hurt. Then Peter Mrazek came in. Peter Mrazek tried to go play a puck at the blue line and got barreled over by Kyle Clifford for the Maple Leafs. So he got concussed. He left the game. The Hurricanes all of a sudden had to go with the emergency backup, and that was David Ayers, who had practiced with the Marlies and spent time on a Zamboni.
Directed in
as
watch.
A Zamboni driver.
People forget.
Yes. And then he came in, and it was there. It went from being one of the most disappointing and unbelievable games in the worst way, because Carolina had played so well. They kind of went through a rough patch, but they were on the upswing. And in that same game, Brett Pesce, who is a staple on the Hurricanes blue line, got hurt. It felt like a disaster, and the Hurricanes really needed the points to keep up in the playoff hunt. They were really neck and neck with Toronto at the time, and it felt like all was lost. It felt like that kind of thing. And then David Ayers comes in, and he allowed two quick goals, and you're like, oh no, this is going to go exactly the way that everybody thinks it's going to go. And from there, I have no explanation for what happened, but it was one of the most unbelievable games I've ever watched. And just as a hockey fan, not even as someone covering a team, it was special in a lot of ways. And this week, I think yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of that, and it has somehow been a year. It feels like 10 years, and it also feels like it was a month ago. It's really weird. Time doesn't
really. I go back and forth on that. Like, we're nearing a year since quarantine first began, and March felt like 17 years. But then right now, it's kind of mind-blowing for me to think that it's already been a year since this all started. That it's simultaneously both crazy and also like, yeah, no, it felt like forever. This has been the longest year ever, so I don't know. Nothing it's weird. Sense, I also don't know if David Ayer's story would have been as amazing if he wasn't a Zamboni driver. I think that adjective was a big part of it. And just seeing that word thrown around, I'm just like, wait, he's a what? And I don't know. I think that helped his case. I think it helped the story. Are you going to appear in this documentary, Brett? Can you say, have you signed an NDA?
We are in negotiations currently. I'm talking with Disney. They are not yet willing to reach my money mark that I'm looking for, but we are in the midst of some heated negotiations.
And you were like, I know you're doing all right, Disney. I know you're doing
okay. They're trying to lowball me. I see their Disney Plus numbers, and I'm not going to go down easily here.
I respect it. I respect it. All right, man. Well, this has been great. I appreciate you making the time. What can the good folks check out from you this week on the internet?
Yeah, so canescountry.com. The Hurricanes continue. They actually go on a road trip this week starting in Tampa. Those are going to be big games. They start to Wednesday in Tampa for two games there before moving on to Florida and Chicago. So big week for the Hurricanes, and we're going to be covering every step of the way. We have some pretty exciting features coming out this week. So that's great. And we have the Canes Country podcast, which comes out every week if you're interested in the Hurricanes or the NHL.
All right. We'll do that. Keep up the great work and the hard-hitting analysis. Like, let me check my notes here. The Canes are good. Brett, thank you so much for the time. I greatly appreciate it. We'll have to do this again soon.
For sure. Thank you, man.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.